Okay, we started a series last week on what new believers need to know. And we also got into last week a little bit of our philosophy on disciple making and our core teaching, our plan as a church and individually for making disciples. The things that we are going to get into, what new believers need to know. We mentioned last week that our plan is to put this into sort of a book form that will be a tool for you as you serve the Lord in this way, both to share with others and for yourself. So we'll go ahead and get into it this morning. A little bit of a review that this life, this new life that we have, obviously has to start at some time. And as Jennifer shared this morning, for some of us that have heard the gospel all of our lives, there's really is no difference. There still is a moment that you go from darkness to light. There is a time that you that you come into a relationship with God. And as Jesus said to Nicodemus, that you must be born again. Now, that's been a much abused term. We've seen it in the media. We read it all the time. But still, it's out of the Bible. And it has huge significance that what we're going to talk about today, a new life, you can't live a life you don't have, and you obviously should live a life you do have. If we've been given a new life, then we are responsible and have an obligation to live it. But we can't call someone to the standards that Jesus called us to unless there is a new life in them. Unless a person has actually really, and like I said, this comes in, if everybody here shared their story, it would be a little different. But yet, we have had to recognize that we're a sinner. We have to recognize that we are separated from God and accept the substitutional death of Jesus on the cross, the Lamb of God. And until that happens, a person does not know God. Until they, and there may be a, you know, God is merciful. And you know yourself that your understanding of this grows and grows, and you look back and you describe what happened to you. Maybe if you have come to know the Lord, you can describe it better with the more you know. But yet, so there may be some different levels of awareness and knowledge. Yet, this is, if a person would have a relationship with God, they must come through Jesus, and a person needs to recognize they're a sinner, repent, turn away from their sin, accept Jesus' substitutional death. And I've said this many times, but if a test is, what would happen to me if I died today? What would happen to me? Where would I go? And if you picture yourself standing in heaven and having the right answer to why should I let you in, if your thought immediately goes to maybe good things that you've done or acts that good acts or that you're not as bad as another person, or that you're pretty good, then that's the wrong answer. The right answer is, the only reason I should be let in is because of the righteousness of Jesus. He was my substitute. He died in my place. He took on my sin, and He gave me His righteousness. And that's the only reason any of us will go into heaven. And I won't take the time now to go through Scripture and prove that to you. We could do that. But that is the only reason anybody will go into heaven, is Jesus died in their place and He gave you, me, His righteousness. So that puts us all on kind of a level playing field, doesn't it? So we talked last week about this new life that you have a little bit. That spiritual life is instant. You may not, you know, you watch a Billy Graham crusade and you, now some of those people that go down front, I'm sure some of them are really saved and some are not. And when are they saved? Are they saved when they get to the front? Are they saved when they raise their hand? Well, they're saved the moment they believe. When they believe, they have new life. They are saved. But spiritual life is instant, but spiritual growth is slow. It is sure. It is certain. Spiritual growth in you is certain if your heart is aligned with the basic conditions of the Word. And so we're going back. We're going to fill in any gaps that you might have in your relationship with the Lord and give you tools with which you can help somebody else grow in the Lord. So we're going to talk a lot about the fertile soil, if you would, and the water that the conditions that a new believer needs to grow in. What are the conditions that a new believer needs to grow? And things that are absolutely necessary for growth. Just for example, how to read the Word, how to believe the Word, how to get the Word in your heart, how to get the Word in your mind. We'll talk about prayer. We'll talk about body life, the relation, you know, the fellowship, teaching. But all these things may fool us and bring knowledge and even confidence. But growth does not come from the outside, from these things. You can memorize all the scripture that you want. But growth comes from the life that God gave us. And I'll explain that a little more. From the new life, the life of Christ in us. So, that's what we're going to talk about this morning. Is the new life. You have been regenerated. You have become a new creature. So you need to have absolute confidence in that. Because if you don't really believe that, if you're unaware of it, you see, this new life works completely different than the old life. If you come in to the new life with the rules of the old life, and you try to apply scripture, and you try to apply life in the church to this, it doesn't work. So you have to understand the new life and how it works, even before we talk about the Bible, before we talk about fellowship, before we talk about prayer. So, this new life that you have been given, that there's hardly anything more astounding in Scripture than you have been born again. You are a new creature in Christ Jesus. You have been given a new life. That is a promise. If you have done what we just talked about, you accepted the substitutional death of Jesus, then you have received a new life. And the beauty and the blessedness of this life, we're going to talk about this. We'll try to understand it more. But none of us can fully appreciate and fully understand what has happened inside of us. And again, the Bible tells us we've gone from darkness to light. We've gone from the children of the devil to the children of God. We will not experience the wrath of God. You remember, we talked about John 3:16, that the wrath of God is coming down on every single person. If you don't believe me, go back, read John 3:16 through 18. That every person has sinned, and the wrath of God is coming down on every single person until that person says, let Jesus take it. And then the wrath of God is diverted to Jesus. And so all of us will not. Therefore, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. That's not going to happen. And we're promised that we will drink from His rivers of delight, that we'll have fellowship with the Father, and that we have eternal life. And obviously, there's much more. Again, though, the Bible tells us that we have been made new, that we are in Christ, that we are new creations in Christ. We have been generated, we've been made new, and we've been given a new life. So stay with me. We're going to go step by step through this. Titus 3:3-7. At one time, we too were foolish, disobedient, deceived, and enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures. We lived in malice and envy, being hated and hating one another. But when the kindness and love of God our Savior appeared, He saved us, not because of righteous things we had done, but because of His mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ our Savior. So that having been justified, that justified means declared righteous, having been justified by His grace,
we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life. Now, this is the hope of eternal life is not hope that we might have eternal life, but hope because we have been given eternal life. Because we've been given eternal life, we have hope. So, this eternal life, the point of eternal life is not just that we live forever, but that we have Jesus. Jesus lives in us through the Holy Spirit. There's the verse that we're going to read says, "He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son does not have life." Eternal life is the life that was in the Father from eternity past. Life that was in Jesus. We have that flavor of eternal life. Not just simply you're going to live forever. You have eternal life imparted, a new life imparted to you through Jesus. You have Jesus. God has given us Jesus to live in us through the Holy Spirit. So it's because you have Jesus that you have eternal life. Not just that you're going to live forever. So let's go to 1 John 5, 10 through 13. Anyone who believes in the Son of God has this testimony in his heart. You know, here something else I want you to think about as we're reading this. I started to do today the title, we almost did a different direction. Assurance of Salvation is what we almost talked about today. But I think if you'll take these things to heart, we're not going to talk directly so much about assurance of salvation. A little bit we will. But I think if you'll take these things to heart, you'll understand what it means to be sure of your salvation. You have a little deeper understanding of that than just, say, physical evidence of being saved. So, as you read through this, you can test yourself. You can think about yourself. It's okay to say, make sure. Do I have Jesus? Do I have Him living in me? Do I have eternal life? Anyone who believes in the Son of God has this testimony in his heart. Anyone who does not believe God has made him out to be a liar because he has not believed the testimony God has given about his Son. And this is the testimony. God has given us eternal life. And this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son does not have life. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God so you may know that you have eternal life. And same book, 1 John chapter 1, verses 2 and 3. The life appeared. We have seen it and testified to it, and we proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and has appeared to us. We have proclaimed to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us, and our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. The life appeared, we have seen it and testified to it, we proclaim to you the eternal life. And John 14, 19 to 21. But Jesus talking here. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in the Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands obeys them. He is the one who loves me. You have a new life. I want that to sink in. You have a new life. You have, I hope this thing of eternal life, just with those few verses, has a little deeper meaning. The same life that was in the Father from eternity past, that was in Jesus. You have Jesus, you have eternal life. You have a new life. John 10, and we won't go to these particular verses. John 10, verses 10 and 28. Jesus says, I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. And he also says there that he gives us eternal life. This is the very life of Christ in us. With the very life of Christ in us, we have the absolute sure potential to become more and more like Him. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9. But He said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me." And verse 4 of chapter 13, the next chapter. "For to be sure, He was crucified in weakness, yet He lives by God's power. Likewise, we are weak in Him, yet by God's power we will live with Him to serve you." Now that question, if you read down, the next verse says, "Examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourself. Do you not realize that Christ Jesus is in you? Unless, of course, you fail the test." Now, this is something that you should realize, even as we study this, that if Christ Jesus is in you, if you have eternal life. Philippians 4:13 also says something along these lines of, "In my weakness, He is strong," is that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And let's look at these next two verses. This is the life of Christ in us. Now, this is not the life in Christ in us after we've been a Christian for 20 years. This is not the life of Christ in us after we have read the Bible through 10 times. This is the life of Christ in us when we are born again, immediately. Now, I'm going to tell you something, and we'll talk about this some more. This eternal life that was put into you, you may not have felt it, you may not have sensed it, but that doesn't mean that it was not there. We've already looked. We've been told over and over that you have eternal life when you believed. So let's look here at Galatians 2:20. "I have been crucified with Christ." That is the identification with Christ. You've been identified with His cross. Should have been me. He took my place. He took my sin on the cross. Identified with the cross. The old nature put to death. Has no more power over me. You've been identified with Christ. You have been crucified with Christ. I no longer live. That old nature, that tendency to go my own way, do my own thing, that has to dominate me. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life of Christ, the eternal life, the eternal one, lives in me. The life I live in the body, this real life, everyday life I live, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. Now, we're going to connect this in a minute. So if you have this life in you, this life of Jesus in you, you have believed. But if you do not believe, if you do not have faith, if you're not aware of this new life and how it works, then it will not show up. You have to have faith for this life to show up. You have to believe you have this new life. Let's go to Colossians 3:3-4. "For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, you also will appear with Him in glory." Now, there are many times that a new believer, or even an old believer, thinks he understands and receives God's Word. When he's seeing spiritual things and he thinks he understands and believes, yet he is only perceiving them on a human level. So let me just give you an example of that. And it's what the kids are talking about today. Matthew 16:23. You remember, you know, the story here that Jesus has shared that He's going to go to the cross and the things that He's going to do and the things that are going to happen. And Peter knows that that's not really the best thing. So he lets Jesus know, "That's not really best, Jesus. This is a better way to go about this." That's paraphrase. Jesus turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. You do not have in mind the things of God, but the things of men. And this is a gap we want to fill in, is not seeing things from a human perspective. And this is one reason a test for salvation, or even a test for growth in the Lord, maturity, is not just an interest in spiritual things. It's not even preaching and teaching or study or church work or even Bible memorization or even appearing to make disciples. All of the tests to see if you have the new life in you have to do with a changed character, with a changed heart. Fruit. Do you love your brother? Do you put other people's needs ahead of your own? Do you have kindness in your heart? Do you have the three loves? Do you love God with all of your heart? Do you love the body, and do you love the lost? Do you have fruit? Those kind of things are a test to see if you have the new life. You see, when we look at things from a human perspective, we want to change from the outside in. We want to study more. We want to go to more Bible studies. We want to do more work. It's God that changes our heart. And hopefully we'll understand that a little more as we go through this. The new life does not work like the former life. In other words, I was good at this in the world. I'll be good at this in the church. I was a leader there. I'll be a leader here. You'll notice that none of the qualifications for a leader in the church have anything to do with success in the world. The qualifications are about fruit, a changed life, a changed heart. And here's one of the keys of looking at this from God's perspective, not human wisdom. We must be brought to the point of humility and teachableness for us to live the new life that we have been given. Let's go to Psalm 25:5. Verses 5, 8, and 9 of Psalm 25. Guide me in your truth and teach me, for you are God, my Savior, and my hope is in you all day long. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore, he instructs sinners in his way. He guides the humble in what is right and teaches them his way. When did Peter learn this lesson? That humility comes first. When did he learn that it was impossible to follow Christ? That's humility. You learn that you can't do it. You learn that you cannot live this life. Now, what we're going to describe here, many people stay in this their whole Christian life. They live a life of defeat when a life of victory is available. Peter needed to learn he could not follow Christ. You see there, he had been with Christ a couple years when he corrected him. He had not learned yet. He had not learned that, he could not follow Christ. It was not until he denied Christ and he went and wept bitterly. That's when he learned. It took total failure for Peter to learn this lesson. I can't do it. I can't do it. He began to learn at that point, what is impossible with man is possible with God. Real faith. But humility always comes before real faith. You notice that's the way it is in salvation? How do you get saved? You recognize there's nothing you can do. You recognize you're a sinner. You recognize you're separated from God. There's nothing you can do. And then salvation comes. How about sanctification? Growing in the Lord. The same thing is true. You have to recognize you can't do it. You have to deeply recognize that you can't do it. That's humility. Think of a new believer with the joy of the Lord and the release of the burden of sin. and he runs to live the life. He is earnest, and he knows that God will help him. Yet he fails. He's disappointed, but he says, I need more conviction. I need more discipline. I need to go to more Bible studies. Now, some of those things may very well be true, but that's not the heart of the matter. He makes his promises, and he prays, he endeavors, and he fails. And he begins to wonder, am I even saved at all? Did anything happen back there? Is it real? The mighty life in you is not seen or felt. And the doubts come. They come flooding in. Romans 1:17 says, the righteous will live by faith. Faith is depending on the one in you, though you see and feel nothing. Your salvation is not based on feeling. Did you lose your salvation when you lost the good feeling of it? It did not affect it one iota. You lose the good feeling and you're still saved. Christ still died for your sin. He doesn't have to go back to the cross and die again. He's still saved. You're still saved. He paid for your sin. Sanctification is the same. It's not based on how you feel. Look at this. There's a quote there from Andrew Murray in your outline. Let everyone then who has received this new life cultivate this great conviction. It is eternal life that works in me. It works with divine power. I can and shall become what God will have me be. Christ Himself is my life. I receive Him every day as the life of God in me, and He shall be my life in full power. You know, today, I am much, much, much more aware of my need to depend on God and not myself. I am so much more aware of my sin today than 5 years ago, than 10 years ago. I know that when I get out of bed, I better be dependent on God or Steve's going to show up. If I'm not dependent on God. There's a deep awareness that I cannot do it. Until we come to that place of daily depending on God, you see, the new life doesn't show up. The new life doesn't show up. There has to be a true humility. Romans 7:24. What a wretched man that I am. Who will rescue me from this body of death? What an odd evidence of salvation. But I believe that it is. This is somebody. This is Paul. Struggling with the old nature. Failing. Endeavoring to have more discipline. Endeavoring to be nicer. Endeavoring to love. And failing. Until he gets to the point, oh, what a wretched man that I am. But you see, a lot of times, this is where Christians stop. The next step is believing God. Believing Him that you have a new life. You have eternal life. You have the life of Jesus in you. You see, either people give up or they just think God doesn't expect that of me. He just doesn't expect that of me. He doesn't expect me to live like that. Well, no, He does expect it. He does. And He's given you the life to do it. So not only do we have to come, and I'll tell you, this is where Christians spend their entire life in Romans chapter 7. Instead of moving on to Romans chapter 8. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life has set me free from the law of death. The Spirit of eternal life in you. This is a road, it seems, that we must all go down to discover our utter weakness. How ridiculous for us to try to live the life of Christ we are called to live in our own strength. So, we compromise. We make deals with ourselves. We make deals with each other. I'll just do the best I can. Or we refuse to believe that He is really calling us to live it out. So, before we talk about how God changes our hearts and our minds and our thoughts through the Word, before we talk about how the body needs us and we need the body, and before we talk about how God uses all these things to manifest the Christ life in us over time, we must believe the first step. Whether we feel it or whether we don't, it's irregardless. Sometimes we may feel it, sometimes we don't. But whether we feel that we have this life of Christ in us emotionally or whether we don't, we must believe it, or we'll never take the next step. So what? We can memorize all the Bible we want. We can go to all the Bible studies available. But until we really believe we have a new life, until we believe we have the life of Jesus in us, real growth does not take place. I've seen people study and study and study and study and go to church and go to church and go to church and go to church and live the same way. Endeavor, try to have discipline, and never change. Never really change. Because you can't do it. I can't do it. Only the life of Jesus in us that we have been given. Now we need those things. The Word of God. We'll talk about that next week. We need those things. We need the body. We won't make it without those things. But we won't make it to first base unless we recognize this new life that we have and we truly believe it. I just want to give you a few things to think about. Even meditate on. Just to talk to God about. We all, whether we came to know God yesterday or whether we've known Him for 20 years, we need a reminder. If God's life is really going to be seen in us, if we are going to, we have this full, mighty power, potential in us, not to be all you can be and to be success and all that, but to live like Jesus. We have this in us. And if we would live it out, then we must believe it. Now, there's all these other things that are important, so I'm not negating those things. And we'll get into all those things. But this first step of recognizing, if you have eternal life in you, like that, the one verse we read, test yourself, and that's okay. But we have to be at this place to recognize our weakness. And I will not kid you. It takes sometimes difficult, hard times and failure after failure after failure to come to this place. So do not look on your failures yesterday and say they were of no value. They were taking you somewhere. Do you now see your weakness? Do you see how many times you failed to get up and have quiet time? Do you see how many times you failed to share the gospel? How many times you screamed at somebody? How many times you stayed angry for a week? All those failures should serve to show you you are absolutely and utter weak. And if you don't believe me, God's going to teach you. He will finish the job that I started with my little information. He will show you. If you must learn it by yourself, then go ahead. Because you can fail and fail and fail the rest of your life. Until you believe you have a new life. You have Jesus living in you. And it is by faith and faith alone that you will live it out. It is not through your disciplined efforts. It is through faith. If you believe Him today, then you can live it. Only through faith. Or else you'll become just, we couldn't stand to be around you. You'd be so prideful. So let me give you a few things. I want you to think about these things
and talk to God about them. Even just in this moment while this is fresh on your mind, you take them to God. They're listed, I believe, in your outline in some sort of condensed form. To believe by faith, you have received eternal life, the very life of God. Does that make you want to jump up and down and shout? You have received the very life of God in you. Believe it. Believe it even tomorrow, Monday morning, when you don't feel like it. It's hard to feel the life of God on some Monday morning. It is hard to feel it. But you don't have to feel it. Just believe it.
Christ lives in you by the Holy Spirit.
Christ lives in you by the Holy Spirit. You have a new life.
Think of the power that raised Jesus from the dead. This power is in you even when you feel weak.
In fact, what better time to believe that He's really strong than when you feel weak?
Even when you feel weak, this power is in you. Trust Him anyway.
Be patient. Growth takes time. Even when you believe, growth, it just takes time.
You can't live by your old rules. The new life is in conflict with the old way of doing, thinking, and even your old way of pleasing God.
You had all this way of pleasing God, maybe it was on your mind, of going to church, of doing all these things, of being kind to your neighbors or whatever. God, yeah, those things are good. But it's by faith and the new life being seen in you.
Submit your will fully to Him and let Him teach you.
He will.
Only then will you be ready to grow through the Word and through prayer and through fellowship and through evangelizing, through all these things we're going to talk about.
But this could be a gap. This could be a gap in your growth. Something you neglected. Something that you put aside and you don't remember today. That you have a new life. Whether you feel it, whether you don't feel it, believe it. Don't spend the rest of your life continuing in the pattern of failing and then trying harder and failing and then trying harder. Just go ahead and say, I'm an utter absolute failure. I can't do anything. But I trust You, God. In my weakness, You are strong. You can do it through me. I've been crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. By faith, I live out this life. So, take it to God, if you would, even now. And Carlton, we'll let you close us in prayer when we're done.